after we served it all for that conker. Drizzled all on your lobster, put shame to your roster. Need broke girl dream on my team, on my weak strong. Need more what we on my league, always be one. Wait, boy, all season. Kobe's on my feet, bruh. Pay attention on me, bruh. Pay me my feet, bruh. You see answers to questions for me.
And welcome to episode 34 of Black Girl Squee. This is the show where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a squee! I'm Dee Dee. On Twitter, I go by Dust Daughter.
I'm Enda. On Twitter, I go by Enda's Corner.
And we have a special guest this week, Chris.
Hello!
Hi, Chris.
Do you want to shout out your Twitter?
Yes, you can find me at Angel Scream. That's two S's, I believe, at Twitter and Tumblr.
All right. And our Tumblr, thanks for the segue. Our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. On email, we're blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And you can find us on iTunes by searching Black Girl Squee. See, we try to keep it simple. And our new podcast host is Simplecast, and you can find us there. And all our episodes at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. So we have a quick spoiler policy in that we spoil shit. So if we're going to talk about movies, TV, what have you, we're probably going to spoil it. In the past, we spoiled How to Get Away with Murder, we underground on WGN, we might have spoiled a couple episodes of Queen Sugar, so if we bring up a TV show, we're probably going to spoil shit, so that's your warning. Also, we cuss a lot, and we talk about dick, so if you got a problem, most people don't, but some people do. Warn you up front. We also squee loud and often, and very high pitched, Enda. So adjust your volume accordingly because of Enda. So
see how she do.
Whatever. Yay. I keeps it real, son. Keeps it real. So now that we got all of that out the way, it is time for our breaking Squidward news.
They should have never special effects.
They should have never. Nah. They messed it up. But, first off in Squeeworthy News, journalist Nicole Hannah-Jones wins a National Magazine Award, which is nicknamed the Ellie because it's shaped like an elephant, I believe. She won that award for her New York Times Magazine piece, Worlds Apart. It won in the category of public interest. And the citation for the award says, Nicole Hannah-Jones deftly blends solid reporting and thorough analysis with her own experience as the mother of a young child to show how, 50 years after Brown v. Board of Education, American schools remain separate and unequal. And she will definitely have her work cut out for her with the new Secretary of Education. And we hope that she will continue this excellent work. So congratulations to Nicole Hannah-Jones and...
Squee!
All right. Our next item in Squeeworthy News comes from Shadow and Act. And they report that
that's our money. Please.
They report that Asia Naomi King has been cast in Untouchable. And this is a remake of a French film called The Intouchables, which I still need to see because I've been wanting to see that for a while. But it's supposed to be filmed in Philadelphia, and according to the story, it says, quote, "The French original tells the story of a relationship between a wealthy white aristocrat who becomes a quadriplegic after a paragliding accident and the young, street-tough black man who was played by Kevin Hart. He hires to take care of him." Okay. Yeah, I actually still wanted to see that for some reason. But anyway, also, King has signed up to play Latrice, Dell's baby mama. They have a son who is frustrated by Dell's inability to hold on to a job and stay out of trouble. Did they say,
first of all,
this is a comedy?
First of all,
yeah.
Why do we need a remake? Second of all, Asia Naomi King having a baby with Kevin Hart, it's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
No, I mean, I know his wife is like real pretty and, you know, all of that, but still, come on now.
Asia Naomi King.
She got four co-stars just all trying to hook up with her.
And one of them plays a K-dude.
I know, yeah. Right?
Like, he's the inspirer of thirst, and I'm supposed to believe he's with Kevin Hart. Okay.
Anyway, but get your checks, Asia.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, to her, we give a
squee!
This is going to be a short one. Hidden Figures has earned $119.4 million, and it is the year's highest grossing Oscar nominee. Yeah, fuck that mayonnaise jazz movie.
La La Land, who?
Basically, I don't give a shit what it does at the Oscars. If it sweeps, it better not. But if it does, I don't care.
And isn't this
Hidden Figures won the money?
Yeah,
they won the box office.
Isn't this still like the only film that with like multiple female leads that's like been number one or like made like the most since like 2011?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Basically.
And
yeah, it has.
And
it was number one for two straight weeks.
It's basically a movie about math and science. Okay?
And black women.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, don't ever tell me that.
And it's probably been in a fraction of the theaters that these other nominees have been in. Except for maybe Moonlight.
Do not ever tell me that black women and women of color cannot lead films, cannot do like these blockbuster films with like the comic book heroes and stuff ever again. Do not tell me this.
Mm-mm.
Never again.
Mm. Say it one more time.
Do not tell me that black women and women of color cannot lead blockbuster films, cannot lead like these superhero comic films. Don't tell me we cannot do summer blockbusters.
We bankable, bitch. Just, it's all right there. So, yes. Just wanted to mention that. Yeah. So, to Hidden Figures and all three stars who should have gotten Oscar nominations, we give a
squee!
Okay. With a side of shade, but
yeah. Okay, next story. Actually, one of my favorite things to happen this past week. I hope I say her
so good.
I hope I say her name correctly. But this is about Tushara Jones. She's she was supposed to. Well, someone asked her for an interview. The Post, the St. Louis Dispatch, I believe, but. She declined the interview. She's a Democratic mayor, a candidate for mayor in St. Louis. And so not only did she decline to do an interview with them, but she went off
So good.
She went off. Okay, and I like what you have here. She read the ever-loving fuck out of him while outlining all the reasons she should win the mayor election of March 7th. She said, 2 weeks ago, you used some of your ink to outline what questions you would be asking of mayor candidates.
You used some of your little ink on your little newspaper.
She was like,
that's just what it sounded like.
She said, you just moved here. It isn't your city yet. And graffiti is not what's killing it. What is killing our city is poverty. Since you're new and you live in a great neighborhood, you probably don't know what the poverty rate doubled during Mayor Francis G. Slay's 16-year tenure. She said, I will look at every issue through a racial equity lens. I will ask if every decision we make helps those who have been disenfranchised, redlined, and flat out ignored for way too long. Oh my gosh, she ain't playing. She's like, I understand that the Post-Dispatch is hurting right now. I hear that soon you'll have to lay off more employees. With readership down to below 100,000, she, after their readership, it makes sense why you would resort to a more inflammatory news reporting style to boost readership. But what the editorial board and certain other reporters have done is nothing short of thinly veiled racism and preference for the status quo past, something this city has had enough of. And she also said, I think there might be enough city voters who are with me and are ready to vote for that change in March and April. After we do that, you and your dog will be safer. And maybe you will consider hiring an African-American editorial writer.
Yes!
I'm not even in St. Louis, but oh my God, she won my vote.
I wish I could vote for her.
If she don't win there, come to D.C., please.
Hell, come to Madison, because they playing up here, too. Shit. We need
oh, my God.
Black ass kid.
Oh, God. Oh, she just... Somebody on Twitter said, every paragraph goes harder than the next. Every next paragraph goes harder than the one before it. So, and it was so good.
She didn't come to play with you hoes.
No, she came to slay. She did. She.
I bet about her as the next mayor of St. Louis come this election. I better.
Because, I mean, the way she outlined her platform and everything like that, I just. Come here. We need or let's clone you because we need you. We need one of you all over this country.
By the way, if you go read the story, please look at the picture that they use for it because I saw the picture on the Twitter timeline. I'm like, ooh, she just looked like she ain't playing. And she looked like she's just 2 seconds away from. Okay, I'm gonna read this bitch. I don't like this
bitch. I'm a read.
That is exactly what she looked like.
Take this bitch to college. Get this bitch some knowledge. I'm a read. So to Tashara Jones, hopefully we will be calling her the next mayor of St. Louis. We give a big oh, Lord Jesus. And speaking of politicians who ain't got the time for the bullshit.
None.
Representative Maxine Waters. if you want to talk about she persists, Maxine Waters persists. I don't want to hear about the rest of these other chicks. Teen Vogue, who's been doing some great reporting, as of late, since they got a, black woman, EIC, Congresswoman, interviewed, Maxine Waters, who's flat out said that she believes that, what's the going name? Toupe Fiasco? I love that so much. Whoever coined that needs yes, needs to trademark it and get their coins.
Yes.
But Congresswoman Maxine Waters believes that dude should be impeached. She just straight up says it. Of course, Maxine Waters is a representative serving California's 43rd district at the end of January. She introduced a bill demanding an investigation into Cheeto Head's cabinet ties into Russia. The bill calls for investigation into any people that are associated with Cheeto Head and the Russian government. So when she was asked why more Democrats aren't publicly resisting Cheeto Head, she said, quote, "We use language that has been designed to keep order and to keep people in line," speaking of people in Congress. Mm-hmm. "I don't subscribe to that. I believe there comes a time when you have to speak truth to power and be honest with the people and be prepared to confront the kind of evil and criminality and undermining of the Constitution, such as I believe this president has done. And if you have to suffer consequences for doing that, so be it. I'm prepared to suffer those consequences." End quote. She also gives advice to young activists in this article. She says, quote, "There are several things that can be done. I love that they dominate social media and the way that they can communicate with people by sharing what I'm doing and retweet what I'm doing. Every time they bring another person in to listen and to read about what is going on, we gain another supporter who not only can continue to speak up and convince other people that we have to bring down this president, but now I know they will become voters and that they're going to vote because they have investments in this political process. I want our millennials and our young people to do what they started out doing with meetups, to talk about what's going on and spread the education. Reaching out to other people is important work. I am so pleased and honored that I'm getting the attention from the young people on social media. It's been missing, and I think we now have a way by which to attract some attention, educate, and to share information and to get people more involved in their communities," end quote.
Wow.
I hope she's okay with the memes, though.
I know, right?
I don't know how she's seen those.
I know, but look.
Her face is a meme, though.
Yeah, because she is all of us right now.
She's not here for the bullshit, Mm-mm. and I love it. Also, from the root, Maxine Waters says Cheeto Head is leading himself to impeachment. After tweeting last week that her greatest desire was to lead Donald Trump right into impeachment, Maxine Waters said Monday that Trump's actions are leading him to possible impeachment. And that was during the same press conference or whatever that Nancy Pelosi got up there behind Maxine Waters and said that he hasn't done anything illegal yet.
Yet.
Like, Nancy, are you even reading the news? He's broken.
Yeah.
He's already broken so many laws and undermined the Constitution in so many different ways.
Thank you.
He's not fooling anybody with all these executive orders and not actually having an executive branch or a legislative, there are whole branches of governments that are not fully staffed yet.
And they don't even know how to turn on the lights.
Oh God. But this is on purpose though.
Yeah.
So he can keep writing these orders and have them and they won't be checked by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Ms. Waters continues to say, I think that he's leading himself in that kind of position, where folks are going to ask, what are we going to do? And the answer is going to be, eventually, we've got to do something about him. We cannot continue to have a president who's acting in this manner. It's dangerous to the United States of America. End quote. And I see no lies.
No, not a one.
She's also spoken with Democracy Now a couple of times. I think you listened to that.
Yeah, she was on. Yeah, she was just on this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Tuesday, so, I believe. Tuesday, Wednesday.
She's talking about the bill that she submitted, and basically that, Cheeto Head has raised serious questions about whether or not he should be the leader of our country. Spoiler alert, he shouldn't. So she's encouraging people to put pressure on the committees that are now saying they're going to do investigations into this administration. You have the Intelligence Committee on the Senate side and one of the House committees. She said that she's put together a concurrent resolution that identifies steps I think they should take and the way that they should drill down. So she says educating the public so that the public can put pressure on these investigations to make sure that they're not whitewashed, that they're real investigations to get at the truth. She says, I think we have to fight and press very hard in order to get at the truth. Mm. Because if Nancy Pelosi has her way, wouldn't nobody be investigating shit? She got right up after Maxine spoke and then just undermined everything Maxine Waters said. And
yeah.
Anyways, that's another conversation for another segment.
Yeah.
But anyways, she also had some ether for this DeVos chick. She said, Ms. Waters said, I started talking about Betsy DeVos when I was at the Women's March. I identified three of his nominees. One was Jeff Sessions, one was Betsy DeVos, and the other was Mnuchin, because they all stood out as unqualified, unfit, and should not be heading these important agencies of government. Betsy DeVos has no experience, no background. Mm. You know, she, of course, never attended public school herself. Her children never attended public school. She's never served on a school board, never taught. She's never done anything except make big donations to Trump and others. And yes, and you can see there's been people have posted a breakdown. There's a fucking spreadsheet of all the Republican senatorial senators and how much she's donated to their campaigns. And you can see all of them confirmed her to become the next secretary for the Department of Education.
Yep.
Mm. McCain, just about every Republican senator. And they had to get the vice president to break the tie, which doesn't seem right or legal, but nothing that they've done has seemed right or legal these days. So she basically bought herself a cabinet position. And she didn't even spend $1 million to do it. She only had to spend 920-something thousand.
Yep.
Which is chump change when you're a fucking billionaire.
Yep.
So y'all senators are very easily and cheaply bought. And you get what you pay for, I guess. Whatever. Maxine Waters is fighting the good fight. Others are just talking the talk.
Yep.
And fuck it, I'm looking at you, Elizabeth Warren. You're talking the talk and then pushing some of these incompetent cabinet nominees through. You said yes to them, what was his name?
Carson.
Ben Carson. You said yes. You made a show of grilling him and a couple of other of these nominees, but you helped him get through. So fuck your little hashtags. Let Liz speak. Fuck you and fuck that.
She wasn't even speaking on the words. Anyway,
She wasn't. Anyways.
Maxine Waters.
Maxine.
Yes.
To you, we give a huge squee!
Okay. So, on to our next bit of squee-worthy news. Believing there is some squee-worthiness in here because it's a lot of fuckery. So y'all may have heard about a couple of weeks ago. There was a celebration of women filmmakers, but in this celebration, well, it's called, they said a heated debate, and I'm saying debate in quotation marks, between Jessica Williams, Shirley MacLaine, and Selma Hayek, which was actually more of Selma Hayek and Shirley MacLaine trying to shut down Jessica Williams. But the LA Times has a story on it, and there's also an article from Very Smart Brothers, which is a good breakdown. It says it's of every frustration I've had with white women. So from the article, it says here, and this is done with, you know, emphasis, first of all, when some of your mamas were burning bras and rallying for sexual freedom, women of color were fighting against that, plus the over-sexualization and subjugation of our black and brown bodies, plus a whole slew of racist and race-related fuck shit. A subjugation created by the very white supremacist capitalistic system that men who share the same skin tone as you created. And if it wasn't for our bodies being used, abused, sterilized, and mutilated in the name of gynecological research, you wouldn't have anything to access in the first place. You're welcome, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. And so it goes on. We'll be good and goddamn if we're going to sit here and continue to placate your lily white sensibilities while you again attempt to speak over women of color, especially trans women of color who face each day with their very bodies in mortal danger just for having the audacity to be alive. Just to be sure, Selma Hayek is a woman of color. She's a mixed race, Arabian and Mexican.
Yeah.
She was also born into privilege. She was born to a wealthy family. She married a wealthier man. So, and she actually used to be really good about speaking up, you know, for women of color and all that. But as you can see, apparently that doesn't extend to black women, I don't guess. But anyway, the article also goes on, and that's your journey. But I want to inspire other people to know it's a choice. This is what Selma Hayek said. Okay, and the response to that was, doesn't this sound like the cries of those who blame identity politics for the ills of the land and not like actual bigotry? I lost track of the number of times I've been asked to stand idly by or rather behind some black man and support our race while keeping my mouth shut about black women dying by their hands in domestic violence cases. If I were keeping track, it would probably be equal to the amount of times I felt silenced by some white woman as she spoke over me and even for me, demanding to be the mouthpiece of the feminist movement. Why in 2017 should this even still be an issue? Why are women of color, especially black women, burdened with continuing to fight with and for people who won't fight for us, who won't even listen to us? And so, that was from, Very Smart Brothers. There was also another good article about this from Remezcla, hope I said that right. It's called What Non-Black Latinxes Can Learn from Selma Hayek and Jessica Williams Debate. And the article, it says that both Selma Hayek and Shirley MacLaine were likening black feminism to victimhood and acknowledging that that our identity, including the ways that the world perceives and oppresses us, is self-victimization. Said that this ignores that for some women, shedding these aspects of their identity is simply not possible. It also ignores that many layers in a person's identity are not always a hindrance, but can in fact be a source of power. These layers and complexities are at the core of intersectionality. Moreover, in a society where whiteness is hegemonic, asking someone to strip themselves of their identity is tantamount to asking for whiteness. Thank you. Thank you.
Can we talk about that find the democracy inside bullshit?
Find the democracy inside? What the?
Nobody said shit about that. Everybody, and rightfully so, has been focusing on Hayek's words, but I guess people have just ignored McClain's find the democracy inside because it's so patently bullshit.
And what's this that?
And maybe they just want to show respect to an elder.
Yeah, I don't know.
Elder celebrity in Hollywood. I don't know.
Well,
but
honestly, thing is, that's the irony of it, is that everybody jumped on Salma Hayek for it, and she and Shirley MacLaine were essentially doing the same thing. And I'm like, see, this is why, Selma, white feminism is not always going to be here for you either. Because they are very willingly letting her take all the heat for this. And I think she apologized. I hadn't read her apology or anything, but she did. Hadn't heard a word about Shirley MacLaine apologizing, though.
Because nobody has pinged her. Nobody's called her out.
Nope.
As saying that she did anything wrong. But just to be clear, find the democracy inside is some bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't even. What
does that mean?
That's what I'm like. I'm like, does that mean? That's what I'm just saying. Like, I don't even know what that means. I don't. Democracy and. Okay, never mind. Whatever, Shirley. Okay. Continuing with the Remezcla article. It says, even within the broad range of non-white experiences, we must acknowledge that not all people of color face the same challenges. As Williams urged Hayek not to project her experience onto black or trans women and to consider that her suggestions might not apply to all women, Hayek doubled down. But she didn't understand. Rather than acknowledging Williams' point of view, Hayek's, this is the term they use, tone-deaf response, with this condescending babies, so glad somebody pointed that out, essentially devalued Williams' experience as a black woman based on her age, both infantilizing and erasing her. In this time of Trump-pismo, whatever the fuck, I know what you mean, but I hate to use his name. Anyway, one in which solidarity between minority communities is critical to resistance, we must learn to listen to one another. Listen to those who are more marginalized than you are. Take the time to decenter your own experiences to understand that oppression can be experienced at different levels of intensity. As Williams noted, hey, maybe black women have it a little bit harder in this country, because we do. Black women and trans women do. If we're having it a little bit harder, it doesn't invalidate your experience. Thank you.
She shouldn't have to say that, but
yeah,
with white fragility being as it is,
and I'm like,
she ends up having to say that. But
and I'm really gonna need non-black women of color to acknowledge, you know, white feminism will do you the same way when they're done using you.
It will throw them under the bus. So,
yes. And it will take that bus and run you over a few good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, Jessica Williams, you know, the squeaker of the part. She came out of that good again because she's just been, I don't know why it is, they just like to come for her. Because when they were replacing the Daily Show, white feminist was like, Jessica Williams, you should want the job. She didn't want the job. And as she said, man, I am not yours. Okay? Y'all, Jessica,
I don't know, I guess.
She knows what she wants to do with her life. And if it's not what you want her to do, it doesn't really matter. She does not have to do what you want her to do. And she doesn't have to speak on the things that you want her to speak on because they make you uncomfortable or something. Good on you, so, Jessica. You know, we still.
Yeah, you tried.
Yeah, you did. You really did. I mean, because they're the only other people in the room, like, were like Dee Reese, and I do think some other white queer women did come, you know, to her defense and tried to, you know.
Yeah, the lady that directs or created Transparent.
Yeah.
She was actually the only one to mention intersectional feminism. I'm like, what? Yeah.
So
you got a cis straight man playing a trans woman, but
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I know. Well, okay, girl.
That was my question.
You woke.
Yeah. This I'm sorry, but white feminists are weird. Y'all are.
The understatement of the week goes to Enda Lorne. Oh God. But yeah, Jessica, good on you for speaking up. I'm sorry that they shut you down.
Yes.
I'm sorry that you felt like you had to kind of fold into yourself in order to not come across as being an angry black woman. I'm sorry for all of this bullshit, but I'm glad you see the jig.
Yeah.
So, for that, we give you a big
squee!
So, you know, you can take a break, Enda, and I'll just get this out of the way. But one of the few bright spots for many Black women during this Black History Month was the announcement on day one that Miss Beyoncé Knowles-Carter is pregnant again, and this time with twins. The singer announced her good news on Instagram with a photo shoot and some videos, and the pregnancy announcement got 10 million likes.
Wow.
10 million. And who knows how many comments as well.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, some of them were from Rihanna, Nicki Minaj, just basically other celebrity, Mariah Carey, who also has twins, congratulated her. You know, she said twins are the best.
Yeah.
And it's funny, just a few weeks ago, Beyonce was seen backstage with Mariah Carey. Anyways, she knew. Because she took a picture with Mariah and her twins. So she's been foreshadowing this shit for y'all. We just had to read the clues. That's how she do. Anyways, people got upset about the photo shoot and the Instagram announcement. And which is funny because people were saying that she didn't carry Blue Ivy. People are so extra in the ways that they hate this woman. And so she was like, I guess she was trying to combat that. So like, you're not going to tell me that I didn't have this baby. I didn't carry these babies in my own body. I'm going to show y'all. Boom. Here they are. But then now she gets new critiques. How you gonna critique somebody's pregnancy?
Oh, I'm
Beyonce cannot live.
We already know how I feel about it, but I'm gonna have something to say about it later. I will.
Because I mean, this doesn't have to do with what you think about her music.
No,
this is. She's sharing something, you know, personal, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with people being happy for her. She's suffered. I mean, she's let y'all know that she's suffered a miscarriage before and dealt with depression due to that miscarriage, and y'all gonna shit on her for being happy that she's having twins? I can't with this world. Anyways, so this, you know, a couple of people have written some great pieces about this phenomenon, whatever you want to call it. Among them is one by Laura Witt, who goes by Femme Feminista on Twitter. Her piece on Medium is called White Women, This Is Why Your Critiques of Beyoncé Are Racist. So, it notes that, you know, that Beyoncé did not make this announcement in a boring or pedestrian way. She gave a glorious photo shoot. She's like on a bed of flowers and just presenting herself as a modern day Madonna. And, you know, others have noted the imagery is very, very reminiscent of Oshun, one of the Yoruban Orishas. And, you know, that's some imagery that she's also employed in her movie for Lemonade. Anyway, Laura Witz goes on to say, of course, we can't enjoy anything on this dumpster fuck planet. Because not hours later came tweets and posts criticizing people for being happy. Pushing that bullshittery aside, instead of being happy for Beyoncé and her babies, B-E-Y-B-I-E-S. I came across three different think pieces about the announcement by salty white women who decided it was okay to criticize the way she announced her pregnancy, the fact that she did announce her pregnancy, and the fact that she looked amazing in her pregnancy photo shoot. Ms. Witt continues to just basically break down these three points. And say that, you know, as far as the way that she announced her pregnancy, the first author completely missed the point and didn't understand the Yoruba and Taro influences and themes of the shoot, which proves that if you're going to write pieces about Black culture, hire a Black writer to do it. The second point was about another writer said, decided to project her own insecurities about not being pregnant onto Beyoncé, who in the past has admitted to suffering a miscarriage. The writer thought that Beyoncé should remain humble and think about who she might be hurting with the announcement of her good news. So, Ms. Witt smartly breaks down that the fact that Black women don't have the same relationship with maternity as white women do because of systemic racism, chattel slavery, and white supremacy, and also negative portrayals of Black motherhood that are pervasive in American culture. Pregnancies and labor tend to be riskier for Black women because of said racism in the healthcare system and the lack of access to good maternity care pre and post labor. And there's also the fact that we have to deal with reproductive justice issues that white women probably can't imagine as the result of forced sterilizations and eugenics programs. Inda read an article earlier that mentioned how Black women, slave women, were used and abused and tested to create the birth control that white women fight for today. So, yeah, we have the entire subject of maternity, reproductive rights, everything related to pregnancy is, yeah, we have a different relationship to it than white women do. So, the third point Laura Witt makes is that another, you know, another writer got mad that Beyonce looked too good while being pregnant with twins. You know, ignoring the fact that Demi Moore had a pregnancy photo where she was butt naked, and I think all she was wearing was paint or something.
She was wearing paint?
Yeah.
Okay.
Demi Moore.
But I remember that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But, and she looked good. I don't see the only difference is that Demi Moore is white, yeah, and Bay isn't. So, so at the end of this article, Witt says, pregnancy looks different and is different for every single woman. Some women are aware of this amazing thing called shea butter, while others aren't. Also, you know, other people have the gift of melanin and, you know, millions of dollars. You can't just forget that Beyonce is rich.
Yeah.
She's gonna look better than your average white woman pregnant. So yeah, basically these think pieces are just really insensitive and ignorant culturally, and yeah, white women really need to shut the fuck up. Especially when it's black girl time. It's black girl time. Sit down. Shut up. So, there's also a good piece in Ebony that you can read called Backlash to Beyonce's Pregnancy is an Example of the Attack on Black Motherhood. But I really wanted to highlight that first piece and just, I mean, shoot, let people be happy.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff to be afraid and depressed about, especially with this new political administration. Just give people a moment to be happy, but nope. Anyway, so to Beyonce Knowles Carter and the twins, we give a squee!
Okay, all right. Moving on. This will be short but sweet. If you may have heard over the past week or so about Tamron Hall, she's leaving NBC because they just completely did her dirty. And Essence has an article saying that her departure is the latest example of their volatile relationship with black women. Because if you may remember, it was last year during the presidential campaign, MSNBC just completely silenced Melissa Harris Perry, gave her a show to talk about, you know, politics and all these other issues, but when the time came to do it, they didn't want her to. Anyway, they actually hired Joyanne Reed to replace Melissa, but then the Reed report, they canceled that not too long after that too. So I don't know what was going on with that anyway. But Tamron Hall became the first black woman to co-anchor the Today Show on NBC, the sister network. But they told Tamron Hall that she would be replaced by Megyn Kelly moments before she went on the air. And if for some reason you don't know Megyn Kelly, well, congratulations, you're doing better than the rest of us. But she's one of those hateful commentators from Fox News. And there she's going to be on NBC now, which gives her a bigger audience. And I really doubt she's going to leave behind, you know, her conservative politics. But anyway, because of all of this, Tamron Hall decided not to renew her contract. And so she's just going to leave NBC, which I don't blame her, because NBC and MSNBC, they appear to be a sinking ship now. So, Tamron, get out while you can. We don't blame you.
What is the deal?
I don't know.
It's like they really have it out for black women on those networks.
They want us to bring in ratings, but then they just, I don't know. It's like that show that will not be named.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Brought in a black woman and was doing a really good job with her, you know, as far as that show. But I guess black women in the audience liked her a bit too much, you know? And so it's like, yeah, well, it's, you know, it's not working for us. So let's just, you know, we got to pull the plug on that. And then when they see that it's not going to work without her, that's exactly what it feels like that's happening on the NBC networks right now.
Yeah, they are like replacing black women with white conservative women, and I feel like their ratings are going to go like toilet paper roll, like that other show we don't talk about.
Yeah. I hope.
Hope so. I mean, Tamron Hall is a respected journalist. Mm-hmm. And Megyn Kelly is not.
Blonde?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's blonde and she's not a respected journalist. Nope. She's just another one like this, that other girl that got cupcakes from Trevor Noah. Ugh. She's just a mouthpiece for the so-called alt-right. She's not somebody that's going to give you hardcore investigative reporting or whatever. She's just going to say some shit that will rile up her fan base and also infuriate everybody else that doesn't agree with her. And maybe that'll give them some ratings, but it probably won't, because nobody really has the time for that bullshit.
Yeah.
And if they did, there's a whole network called Fox News for you to watch. Keep that shit over there. Just lock that toxic shit to that one toxic cable network. We don't need to spread the disease to fucking mainstream media, but whatever. Good on you for doing what's best for you, Tamron Hall, and I wish you all the best.
Yes.
In your future endeavors. I don't know what's Al Roker going to do, too, because they kicked his ass out, too.
Yep. But anyway, Tamron, we'd just like to give you a big
squeeze! Yeah, I get to talk about my baby. She don't know she my baby. She my baby. And I just wanted to do a little bit about Miss Sydney Bennett. Y'all may know her as Sid the Kid from the internet, or just plain old Sid, whose solo album came out last week. It's called Finn. And it's not Finn like the end of anything. It's not the end of her collaboration with the internet. It's not the end of her being in the band or whatever. She basically chose it as because of the imagery of the fin that, you know, that underwater creatures use. Mm. Like, she's a necessary part of the whole, which is how she feels. That she works in as far as in the band, the internet. Mm. Anyways, she has this album out, and, you know, I heard a really weird review that made me very mad. So I went to find some other reviews that were a bit more balanced. You know, first off, people who complain about her voice need to just listen to another artist. Her voice is what it is. She knows its limitations. She's worked with vocal coaches to do better with what she has. She's also a songwriter and producer and an engineer. Basically, you know, if she hadn't called it Finn, if it were me, I think she could have called it Flex, because she's flexing different muscles here than she has on internet records. I mean, she wrote songs with the internet, of course, and did some production as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, more of her ideas are front and center on this solo album, you know, as well they should. She's working with big name producers like Hit-Boy, Mello X, who collaborated with Beyonce, Rocky, who collaborated with Kendrick Lamar. They only got one track apiece, though. Mm. She's doing most of the writing and the production herself, or with, you know, other of her bandmates. Steve Lacy produced a couple of tracks. So there's this guy named Nick Green who's on a lot of the tracks. I don't know if he's the Jarobi of, like, the internet, you know, like the secret seventh member, but he's on a lot of the credits. So people who think that she's, like, trying to separate herself from the internet or break away from the internet, she's not. Anybody who heard the first single would know that she's not. I'm sorry, I just keep hearing that interview where they literally said this album sounds like she just didn't want to split the check six ways. I'm like, how reductive and dismissive can you be about a person's work than that? And yeah, yeah. So, Stereo Gum did a review and said, Sid is singing a lot about self-determination, and she's also singing about sex.
Yes.
There are a lot of songs about sex on this album. I love them. And considering the state of America right now, the songs about sex are as brave and proud and reliant as the Here I Am, Fuck You songs. Sure. The next 4 years promise a rough time for anyone who is black or gay or female, and Sid is all three. But there's no anxiety in Finn. Instead, it finds Sid stepping out on her own. And with a calm, cool intensity, she sounds like an absolute fucking badass, and the world needs absolute fucking badasses like her. So maybe the album is that deep. She said before that this album isn't really deep. It's just an excuse to, you know, maybe get a song on the radio and have more shit for her band to play, because they're only going to play this at internet shows. It's not like she's going on a Sid World Tour.
No, the internet is about to tour. That's right.
Yeah. So, and she's not the only one coming out with a solo album. Matt Martian's just dropped a solo album, The Drum Chord Theory. Steve Lacy is going to come out with his own album. Steve Lacy's the guitarist. in the internet. So you know, she's just coming out first, and they're just exploring different ideas that may not fit on an internet record, but that they want to get out of their system so they can come back to the internet as a band and be more just, you know, focused and ready to do internet stuff.
Yep.
So, because that another thing that interview said was that, you know, oh, she's trying to become a star. She's trying to become like, I don't know, you know, break away from the internet. And I'm like,
and?
Y'all haven't read a motherfucking interview or a word this woman has said.
And I'm like, even if she was,
you would know you're wrong.
If she was, so.
Anyway, but.
I mean, she's not, but I'm like, even if she was, so what? She put out a damn good album. You have to find something to nitpick about it.
Yeah, it's, they were just terribly dismissive.
Yeah.
And to call this lazy writing, there's some good writing on here. Just because it's not, you know, as confessional or, you know, soul bearing as, you know, I want to say, like, I think they want it to be more like Sampha's process or, you know, more emotional, like something from Solange or something from Beyonce or something like that, but it's a different artist.
Yeah, I'm like,
why do they keep everything on? Doesn't have to be confessional. Everything doesn't have to be.
Well,
it's like,
no, it does. If it does. If you're a black woman, because you have to, you're a black woman. They're entitled to you. They're entitled to you the way they want you.
Mm. I really feel like she's being penalized just because this record isn't very introspective.
Well, she's being,
or
look, she's punished very, because it's not, she's not being tragic.
Yeah. And people aren't like if you want to feel somebody's pain, there's a whole bunch of other albums that you can listen to for that.
Look.
If you want to hear some bops, and if you want to get your body roll on, if you want to hear, you know, just, you know, a sexy woman being sexy.
Yeah. exactly.
Then you listen to this album and just have fun with it. It's just a nice album to vibe out to.
Yes.
It's not really, y'all are just, yeah, I just got mad because y'all are putting too much pressure on this thing and not accepting it for what it is. But anyway, let the, she's 24. Let her just have some fun making music. God damn.
I mean,
seriously.
Look, I mean, a 24-year-old, what you expect a 24-year-old to just, what, have hard living just all the damn time? Like, what the fuck? I mean, shit, let her be young. Let her, you know, be sexual. Let her be what the fuck she wants to be.
Yep. Yes, please let her be sexual. Anyway, be sexual. Preferably with me, 202. Oh, did I say that? Was that out loud? Oh, I'm sorry.
Sid, you can reach her at DUSTVAUGHTER.
Go in them DMs, Sid.
Yes, it goes down in the DMs. Faux show.
Don't she mention that in one of the songs? Something like that?
Yeah, she's like, I'm the one your girl be posting tweets about, bitch. I was like, yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Sid. You're right.
But let me tell you the funniest thing. Let me tell you the funniest thing. It's my timeline ain't shit. They were debating who would be better with a strap on, her or Young M.A.
Good night.
Thank hard.
And you can find us.
But that was my timeline. I just looked at that. I couldn't retweet any of it. But I was just looking at this like, oh my God. They went there. starts cackling because, but these my folks though. I love
don't
y'all.
Even. I don't think Sid even needs all that extra apparatus. I don't. Oh. I believe she has her own gifts. anyways.
See, this is why we're happy Sid made an album, because we're all happy now.
It gives me more material to thirst. I mean, I just want to be able to say to somebody, if I go to hell, hope my bitches get to visit. I need to be able to quote that somewhere. she got some hot lines on this joint. y'all sleeping on the lyrics just because she's not giving you like Beyonce type vocals or whatever. She don't have to. But
this is an excellent album. This is probably like the best I've heard in the year so far. It really is. This is why I thought it wouldn't come out until, like, you know, December 29th or some shit.
And a month later, and a month after you said that shit, it dropped. but feel free to be wrong again, okay? And especially if you're wrong like this.
Yeah, please. I'm happy to be wrong on this one. I'm happy to be wrong on this.
Yeah.
Dang. Why can't we always got to wait for good shit, but we didn't have to this time. Thank you, Sid.
Did not have to. Thank you, Sid. So much. Also call me. So to Sid. To Sid, we give all of the
Scream! You can get that subliminal message up in there. Alright.
Now, it's time for our main topic, which is Miss Chris here.
Yay!
Hello!
Oh, thank you for having me.
So this is Crystal. Chris is a 30-something from Chicago. Chi-Town, what's up? So, who, when not ranting or watching TV, is the pet mom of Max. And Max is?
He is a Bijan Frise. I spam my timeline and Inda with his pictures.
Aww. So, first of all, do you have anything that you'd like to plug out there, promote while we have you on?
Let's see. I have a website that's the blackgirltv.com. I have to update it because I have like a lot of stuff in drafts, but that's, and just my Twitter and Tumblr are Angel Scream with two S's.
Okay. Let us know if you want to have us shout out your blog. Shout out your TV website.
Also, I'd say if you do follow Chris on Twitter, she does do live tweets of some shows like The Flash, How to Get Away with Murder. I think you do a lot of TGIT, right? Like Scandal and all that.
Yeah, not so much Scandal as much, but definitely How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah, so you should follow her just for that alone, because she comes up with lots of gems, you know, like great value Martha Washington talking about that woman on that show that will not be named, and Dollar Store Thor on that show.
Dollar Store Thor is my favorite.
Oh my God, that was you?
Yeah. That was me. Or so proud of that one.
So, yeah.
Trademark that shit. Trademark it. Oh, man. So, here at Black Girl Squee, we are all about Black women and pleasure. So, we like to ask our guests what thoughts they have about Black women and pleasure. So, Chris, what can you tell us? What have you learned throughout your 30-something years?
Wow, it doesn't seem that long, but I would say that Black women and pleasure, I think that it's, like, important and life-giving. I believe, like in the past, like, I always thought that, like, taking care of myself was, like, selfish and not important. But all my friends are always telling me, like, when you're on a plane, you have to put on the safety mask on yourself first before you can help others. Mm-hmm. And especially with this world, seems like it's going like hell in a handcart. It's important to, like, just seize joy when and how you can, pretty much.
Woo! Can you say that one more time, please? Just the last bit.
Seize joy when and how you can.
Yes, ma'am. What do you do for self-care? How do you seize joy?
I do a lot of things. Mostly, let's see, like, I try to make sure that I, sleep normally, go to the gym pretty often, which I complain about still, but I watch a lot of, like, movies and TV shows, hang out with my friends when I can. Sometimes I go to therapy, which is pretty important. Let's see. Yeah, and just, like, basically, also, like, sometimes I go to wrestling shows, because looking at muscular dudes, like, flipping each other around helps.
Seize joy, girl. Seize joy.
Yes. Like, one time, like, they seize me, so it's...
Hey! So, wait, what you're saying is we need to go to some wrestling shows and try to get seized by one of these big burly...
Hey! Just ask source. Okay. But, yeah, like, I like good food, too, so that helps.
Yes, food's important. Do you consider yourself a part of any fandoms? If so, which ones are you part of? Which ones do you like? And which ones are some that you'll just, like, say, hell no, I'm not going to get a part of that?
Well, let's see. The ones that... Yeah, I do feel like I'm part of certain fandoms. The ones that I'm part of, definitely, like, How to Get Away with Murder. Elementary, which is one of my favorite shows. All time, I would say Star Trek.
You're a Spahura shipper?
Yes, always.
Yeah. Me too.
And let's see, fandoms I try to stay away from, Doctor Who, when they did My Girl Martha dirty.
God, that's when I left too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would say that show that we will not name. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of people who were part of the fandom, but I try to stay away from it, except for the cackle at their demise, but.
Yes. Me too. All right. Let's see.
And the Walking
Marvel fandoms or?
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I do like. Well, let's see, Marvel. Yeah, I do love Storm, of course, and the X-Men and Spider-Man. And, like, I really like Luke Cage, the show, like, on Netflix.
Yes.
One fandom I don't as much anymore is The Walking Dead, because they did my dude Glenn dirty. I'm still a little angry. I'm still angry about that, but, yeah.
That was so fucked up.
I'm forever bitter about that.
Yes.
Super bitter.
Especially when they ended up giving these one-note white characters more background and development and shit than Glenn got in 6 years. But anyway, okay. Let's move on.
Yes, let's.
So what shows, films, books, music, and anything in like pop culture you're enjoying? What are you enjoying right now?
Ooh, that's a long list, but like I really like Lizzo's latest song, Excuse Me. Yes, that entire Yes. That entire video gave me life.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's so good.
I did not even see that coming because, you know, they're kind of sitting in church first and I'm like, oh, this is cute. And then it just kind of goes to heaven.
I know, right? And I'm like, yes.
Like, wow. Okay. Oh, anything else?
Yep. I really into like chewing gum and Crazy Head.
Ooh, yes. Yes. Those are great.
Yep, let's see. Queen Sugar, of course, and This Is Us, which I say it should be like Kleenex should get like stock in it because it always makes you cry, but it's a really good show.
Yeah, that one is what I'm kind of hesitating to get into right now because I'm like, either it's gonna disappoint me or else I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna feel too much too fast, and like, either way, I'm gonna be fucked up, so.
Yeah, it's an emotionally kind of heavy show, but, like, I love it. Let's see. Mrs. Fisher's Mysteries has been pretty good. Also, The Expanse, Killjoys, Dark Matter, and Pitch.
Oh.
The Expanse. Are you following? Are you watching it this season?
Oh, yeah. I'm good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I have to catch up on The Expanse because I was really sleepy when I was trying to watch the premiere episode of this season and I couldn't stay into it. So now I got to catch up on the premiere episodes and this week's. So I got a lot of catching up on The Expanse. Yeah.
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 But when you're awake, it's so good. So good.
I keep forgetting how to pronounce her name, but what's her face on that show? Since Gina Torres is no longer on Suits, she now has like the best wardrobe on TV. What is that?
Sara Agdashley.
Yes,
she plays Christian.
Yes, yes.
I want her outfit. Me,
she has the best wardrobe on TV now.
Them, she be killing it in a different fly ass sari every scene. I live anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
And I watched some old stuff, like I power watched when I was on break, Saving Grace, and Dancing on the Edge actually with like Chiwetel and Angel Colby.
Yeah, and Wenwi Masaku. I love her now. That was actually really good. I didn't realize it was on Netflix, and so I'm like, yay!
It is? Oh, shit.
Yes, it is on Netflix. Yes.
Okay, we'll add to queue.
And I think the only thing left would be the One Day at a Time reboot. That was actually really good.
Yeah.
Well, I only watched like 4 of the episodes, but it was good. They talk about like mansplaining and also like being undocumented and like depression and other stuff. And it's with a Cuban family. The grandma is played by Rita Moreno.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that looks like something I would probably just enjoy like on a Sunday or something.
Yeah, it's good like Sunday watching. Just chilling and just watching the entire season.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
All right.
So if you could do a walk-in role on any show right now, what would it be and why?
Ooh, that's tough. I would probably say How to Get Away with Murder just so I could be a smartass law student.
But then you'll end up as a body.
Good point. That's the definitely drawback.
You probably end up as a body on that show because, I mean, everybody.
Yeah, because everyone. Yeah, that is true. Everyone dies. It's like Game of Thrones Lost or
Long as I can rub up on Nate one good time, just
word.
Okay, I can die now. Like, no, really, just kill me now. I've lived.
Yes,
yeah, I fulfilled my purpose. It can only go downhill for me.
I almost thought you were saying I can only go down from here.
Oh, holy!
That's at in this corner. I-N-T-I-C-O-R-N-E-R.
Okay, we all know. Look, we all know where my mind is at. I almost didn't catch that.
See, for all the times you tell me I ain't got sense, just run that last 30 seconds back. Now,
like you weren't thinking it. Okay. What? So, I'm moving on. Okay, so I know you plan on being at WisCon this year. Yay, WisCon! So, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, you know, being on a couple panels, hanging out with my friends, including you, and, you know, getting into hijinks. And of course, like, WisCon usually falls around the same week as my birthday and my my friend's birthday, so probably gonna eat a lot and get drunk.
Yes. Sounds like, yeah, me too. Yeah, I get to see her cute little face here at WisCon. Go ahead. When's your birthday?
Oh, May 22nd.
Oh,
yeah, that is like the week before. Yeah, WisCon is always on Memorial Day weekend, so yes, the last weekend in May. So yeah, it's about that time. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and I wanted to ask if you cosplay, and if so, can you tell us about some of the characters you've done if you cosplay?
I've never cosplayed, but I've always wanted to. I think if I did, it would be either Catwoman, Wonder Woman, Storm, or April O'Neil.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mostly because April in the original comic was supposed to be a black woman.
Oh, yeah. That's true. She was. I'm like, okay.
Is that from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, nice. I have seen like some of the old stuff. April O'Neil definitely is black, and I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. So we wanna okay, so Dani and I'll give a little background to where we're taking discussion now because, well, y'all know us. Dani, we're trying to write something about black women, sexual pleasure, and media. And so we wanted to know if you minded talking to us a bit about kink and stuff like that.
No, I don't mind.
Okay. So first question I wanted to ask about that. Like, what are some of the misperceptions that you've seen or heard about black women and sexuality in media representations?
Definitely. Let's see. I would say that... one, that black women, like, don't really have one. I mean, it seems like that there seems to be a media representations that black women are, like, the fun friend of, like, white characters, but that we don't have, like, our own, we don't have our own sexuality unless it's, like, unless we're, like, connected to a white character. Wow. The second thing I would say is that... people who aren't, like, conventionally attractive having sex lives, like black women who are older or black women who are fat, like me, for example, like, it's usually either played as a joke or that they're not really considered as sexual beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the only thing I can think of is just with Gabourey Sidibe had that scene with that dude, and just the reaction to it was just, oh my God, people just lost their goddamn minds.
Yeah, people just, like, were horrible about it. I mean, no, there were good, like, responses, but, like, some people were like, oh, I can't even get like a call back, and she's got a dude, and it's like, can you just not do that?
Thank you.
It's like they don't want to see fat black people be happy, and it's a load of bullshit.
Yeah, I think I should say first asking, do you ever see representations of black women in kink or BDSM? And if so, do you see any good representation, or do you see a lot of misrepresentation when it comes to that?
I have to think about that one. I don't really see that in mainstream like interpretations. I don't really see a lot of like black women like being presented in kink or BDSM. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see like more like, and if it's so like possibly more nuanced, like a nuanced approach to it.
Yeah.
I mean, usually when I see people in kink, it's usually like cis straight white people.
Yeah.
At least in mainstream interpretations.
Yeah. So
how do you,
go ahead.
What about, how do you, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. How can black women be involved in that without it devolving into race play?
Ah, I see.
Sorry.
No. That's a good question. I always say like black women can like. I think the key thing is like asserting boundaries and also like meeting like other folks of color who are into the same things that you're into. And also it's just basically one, research, and two, like full stop. If the person's trying to go into race play and you're not with it, then you stop everything. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I mean, the key thing about like being in kink and BDSM is that it has to be about boundaries and about, there has to be like a level of trust, and also there's consent. Like you have to be able to be, if you're involved in kink or BDSM with another person or multiple people, you have to trust that they're not going to harm you. Mm-hmm. And if like, it's so race play for a lot of people is a hard no.
Yeah.
And you, so yeah, you have to like you have to, sorry if I'm like rambling, but
ahead.
You have to like,
no,
have that like up front. And if the person like breaks your boundaries, then you don't fuck with them anymore. Yeah. Pretty much.
Literally,
yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Because that's actually something I think about. Because I kind of like, first of all, I'm thinking in some ways it kind of has to be a difficult community to get into, especially if you already come, you know, you have maybe trust issues and things like that. But like you said, it just putting things out there up front. And being specific about, you know, boundaries and what is acceptable and what isn't, this is what you kind of have to do, and, you know, hope that, you know, for the best that you are fucking with somebody who's going to respect that.
Pretty much. I mean, a lot of people don't understand that, like, there's a lot of communication that needs to be involved before you even like go forward. It's like a relation, pretty much like a relationship, yeah. Like or a friendship. You have to like talk to this person, and then you guys have to figure out, okay, I am into this sort of stuff. I'm open-minded to this sort of stuff, and this stuff we don't go there. Pretty much.
Hmm. Okay, makes sense. Oh shoot, I just remembered. Veronica Fisher on Shameless. She is one of the only.
Oh yeah, V. Yes, I forgot about
that. She is one of the only black women characters I know that has been shown that's into this kink and BDSM stuff. But thing is, it's so problematic within the context of that show. And also,
why?
Well, at some point, well, first of all, this isn't really the problem, but they're introduced as part of she and her husband, Kevin. Well, first he's a boyfriend, but then he's a fake husband because they're not legally married, but they're married. And so they're introduced. She's actually pegging him while he's gagged and bound and gagged. And so this is kind of like, this is who they are. And this is kind of the basis for their relationship. It's kind of centered around their sex life. But the problem with them, you know, doing this is that they do engage in race play. Thing is, they're doing it for webcam. She's the one who has to talk him into it because he's hesitant. And they are enacting like a Sally Hemings revenge fantasy thing.
Yeah, that storyline.
So I'm like, that's the problem, because it's like, this is one of the only, you know, representations of Black women. Well, with, I'll say, you know, not a vanilla sexuality in it, because she's also later, she's coded as queer, you know, because she and Kev, they end up in a polyamorous relationship with, you know, Svetlana. And thing is, Veronica is the one in love with Svetlana, and they seem to be in love with each other. Kevin is the one who doesn't like Svetlana, but he's still in love with Veronica. And, you know, Svetlana brings a lot of these things to their relationship. And so they all work this out. So it's like, there's just so much that could have been, you know, done right with this. Because in some ways, I kind of think that they did get the polyamorous relationship right. And, you know, regard to, you know, this is the way we work this out as a family. But it's like, wow, they really, this was like the second or third season that they did that race play thing. And I'm like, oh my God, really? Because that's, I mean, it's not even just that they were doing, you know, a master slave thing. It's like they made it specifically about, you know, Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. That, yeah,
they could have avoided that, like, entire thing.
Like, they could have just had her, like, tying him up or some shit and, you know, whatever and all of that. But, man, they dress up in, like, the red, white, and blue patriotic stuff, and he's in, like, a powdered wig, and I'm like, what is this?
Somebody thought about this way too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
Not in a good way.
Not in a critical way, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, this is kind of like, okay, there are some things you can take from her character and like, okay, yeah, this worked with it. But yeah, some of it is like, ugh. And that's the thing about him to Kevin, her husband, Kevin. He's really a sweet guy, you know, and all. And he's not like fragile masculinity. I think that's the best thing about him. His masculinity isn't fragile. And so there are just so many things that they could have done right with this couple. But Shameless, it's gotten to the point now. It's like, okay, we kind of have to be, offensive now to be edgy, which I think a lot of that they kind of avoided that in like the first season. But now they're like 8 seasons deep. And
it's like they're trying to top themselves on like how edgy their like storylines could be instead of like focusing on like the characters. It's just a shame because they do certain things right, and certain things when they do wrong, it's just completely left.
It just goes left, and I'm like, okay. So, we can leave that now. So if you had the opportunity to produce any type of show, like it could be film or television or whatever you want, and if you could do this tomorrow, what would your dream project be?
My dream project? Well, there's two of them. One would be like a movie about Bessie Coleman.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because like he was from Chicago, and she's the first Black woman to like get her international pilot's license. She had to go all the way to France to do it, and her big dream was to like have a school of aviation for like Black folks, regardless of your gender. But she died like in a plane accident, unfortunately, when she was like in her 30s, early 30s. Yeah, and like without her, I don't think there would be like the Tuskegee Airmen or anything. So yeah. I would really like a movie about her.
Oh, it's like Hidden Figures for aviation.
Yes. Yeah, because like what's her name always gets like the press, the one who got
Earhart.
Earhart, yeah. Yes. But yeah, I would love that. Second would be I wish that they would ever do like a actual like show or movie about like Stephanie St. Clair and like the whole like 1920s Harlem with all like black people or 90% black people.
Mm-hmm. Was she like one of the underworld figures?
Yeah, she was one of the major underworld figures, especially like with numbers. Yeah. She was called, nickname was like Madame Queen. Yeah, she was like the boss of like Bumpy Johnson.
Oh, was this who Cicely Tyson played in Hoodlum?
Yes!
Oh my God, that would be awesome! Yes.
Yeah, I was hoping that they were going to do that in like have her in like Boardwalk Empire, but that never happened. Oh, and I was like,
yeah, they need to have, she needs her own movie, her own series.
Yes, I would love to be a part of that, and I would watch it.
Yes. Yes.
Make it and watch it.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, one more time. Just tell everybody where we can find you online again.
Sure. At Angel Scream, it's